and Greta Garbo is probably crying while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple and dear Jack.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined in studio by Mr. Kevin Suarez, Big Kev, our resident movie reviewer. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
I nearly buggered that up. I nearly played the wrong theme on that one, but realised at just the last split second. You know what? I'm going to have to stop calling you Big Kev. We're going to have to give you something a little bit more markable. I'm thinking regular size Kev. You're a pretty regular sized guy, really.
You're not the only one to have mentioned that. Some people have actually called me small Kev because they already know a regular sized and a big Kev.
I'm not sure we can call you Big Kev for marketing purposes, but regular size Kev, I mean, that could probably work. You're pretty regular size.
There's a hook to it, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. All right, a couple of films we're talking about this week. Pacific Rim 2, which is the sequel to the Del Toro film from a few years back featuring giant robots punching it up with giant monsters. And we're also talking about a kids' film, Peter Rabbit. Which one were you looking at first, Mark?
We'll look first at a movie that I think would appeal to you more is Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit, yeah, I'm a big Peter Rabbit fan. My niece is a big Peter Rabbit fan, I must say.
Yeah, so Peter Rabbit, so both films were actually shot in Sydney, but let's start with Peter Rabbit first. Mm-hmm. We all know the story, Beatrix Potter, Peter Rabbit and so on, but in the movie, it's set in the northern part of England, and so Peter Rabbit loves going into one of the neighbor's yards and stealing the food and going off, but then they start developing a bit of a rivalry with the owner of that yard, with the vegetable patch and that they keep stealing carrots from, and so then when that owner dies and passes away, then his son or a distant relative inherits the house with the garden, and then they develop a new rivalry as well.
Wow, okay, that sounds a little bit dark to me for a kid's film. The guy, the villain of many years, has passed away and he's handing it off to somebody else.
Yes. To be honest, I thought it was a pretty good film. I enjoyed the plot as well because I thought it was a bit of a different thing to what we're used to. A big scale, you know, kids movie with like CGI everywhere and explosions and so on. But I feel that this is taking a completely different approach. Most of the action takes place within this yard and surrounding forested area. So I thought having a smaller scale probably would appeal to the kids who are probably a bit too fed up with all the, you know, action kids movies and so on. Other than that, I thought that the actors did a really good job as well because it's all live action except for Peter Rabbit and his mates. And sometimes when that happens, when they have to interact with a CGI character, as I'm sure you may remember, sometimes the actors are a bit too awkward. They sort of look at the CGI characters when they're filming and then they just don't know how to react.
In fairness, in a lot of these situations, they're literally acting alongside a floating tennis ball, a tennis ball on a piece of string. Yeah.
But in this case, it was specifically, I think, Rose Byrne and Dom Hall Gleason that had to act alongside CGI characters. And they did a really good job of it.
Okay, fantastic. So it might be a good one to take the kids along to?
Sort of. As you mentioned earlier, it's a little bit too dark. Like, Will Gluck wrote the screenplay and directed the film, and sometimes he verges between making Peter Rabbit literally a sociopath and making him sort of like Bugs Bunny. So tonally, it goes from a bit too dark to a bit too cartoonish, and other than that, I think that if they sort of stuck more with a more cartoonish approach, then it would have been a honestly excellent kids' film.
Okay. So maybe a little bit for the slightly older side of things. Okay. Well, like I say, my niece, she's only 2 years old. She's a big fan of the TV show, though. So who knows? Now, the next one, we mentioned both of these are actually shot in Sydney as well.
Yeah.
The next one we're talking about as well is Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim 2, the sequel to the giant robots punching giant monsters film. I'm a big fan. I'm a huge fan of giant monster movies. So I am very excited to hear your take on this one, Kev.
To be honest, this is probably one of the first films that I started reviewing while it was still being filmed, because I went along to Barangaroo where they were filming some parts of the overseas segments, and just sort of forming my opinions of the movie around that. But watching the movie itself completed with all the CGI was still a fairly interesting experience. I may have made a joke earlier and said Peter Rabbit was more your film. I was referring, of course, to Pacific Rim Uprising. And so I thought that it was Stephen S. DeKnight's first film, directorial debut, making a feature film, and it was a very good I'd say, first go at making a blockbuster Hollywood film. It had a fairly good script. It had good CGI and a good amount of action and dialogue as well. But the main issue that I sort of had with it was that it feels a little bit too uninspired. It's still robots fighting more robots. And to be honest, I like that idea. I'm a massive fan of Robot Wars, right? So that idea appeals to me. But I do feel that for fans that aren't of, you know, a kaiju film or fans of, you know, robotic films, they'll love this movie. But for the people that aren't a big fan, then they wouldn't really be interested.
Yeah, if I can pull you up on one right there, Kev, it almost sounds Damned by Faint Praise. It was good action. It was good directing. Mm. It was good such and such, but obviously not great. It wasn't making a huge impression.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good, decent film, but it wasn't great. I mean, to be honest, it was a step above Transformers, but they set a pretty low bar, right?
This is. I've watched the last two Transformers films, and I have no idea what the plot was. I was watching them, and I couldn't have told you a single character, a single plot point of those films.
Exactly, right? So Stephen S. DeKnight made a very good attempt, because I, for starters, I could actually follow the plot. There was a very clear plot. But even then, I felt that it wasn't really that inspired. It like he could have had so many different ideas. For example, Ellen McClain is in the movie as an AI, and as we know, she plays another AI in Portal. It would have been an interesting idea having her as the villain, mm-hmm. as another rogue AI. There were so many other interesting ideas, but I do have to mention that Charlie Day for once isn't playing the eccentric character that he's famous for in It's Always Sunny. He's actually got something else to do in this movie. He gets some fairly serious dramatic scenes as well.
Oh, that's good. I like Charlie Day. I'm actually quite a fan of John Boyega as well. I've liked him. What was it? Run the Block, the first film.
Attack the Block. Great movie.
Terrific film. Yeah, I thought he was fantastic from those days. So, okay. Well, for fans of Pacific Rim 1, like myself, one worth getting along to, but probably not unless you're a big, you know, you're really enthused about your giant monster movies, I suppose.
Yeah.